Well, did you miss me? The longest THI break without a show in history. Sorry about that, but it is what it is. Today's date is December the 18th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Well, I'm back. I wouldn't say I'm 100% ready to be back, but it is what it is. I'm sure people at Lifeforce will be relieved, given they've not had anything to copy and paste for the past 2 weeks. Oh, well. So I got a break. I prefer not to have that type of break, to be honest. But I suspect it was what was needed, as we have an important phase coming up now. And it's vital all pay attention to it, particularly the end piece tonight. Just maybe our time has arrived. And let's see what we can do with it. And what that entails or looks like for now will not be revealed for safety purposes. But this will be an important phase for us all in this group. And I want more to participate. This is your future that is at stake and your time to be the change. So if you haven't joined the communal gatherings yet, what are you waiting for? And what has been an interesting and encouraging, I have to say, recently is how many in certain pockets of alt media are almost en masse now thinking within a single thought form. Now I generally have to wait till Thursday to deliver what I have to say, but what I'm finding now is so many pieces now are thinking and running along the same thinking process. And this is a major event in and of itself, as uniformity of thinking on a critical thinking level will create a new resonant frequency the clowns cannot stop. Now this coming Wednesday, December the 22nd, at 7:30 PM Eastern Standard Time, we will be launching the TPC promotional video live for the first time. And all are invited to attend the promotional video. In fact, all should attend, given the vast amount of effort that has been put into this. Now, once released, I will ask all members to then participate by posting it in all groups that people are involved in around the internet, and let's highlight who we are, what we stand for, and how people can not only join, but why they should be joining. And it's up to you all to promote the video, maybe do a family Christmas show, and ask your family members to join and contribute to what we're doing. Remember, this is about the TBC, not THI. Next Thursday's normal show will not go ahead as planned. Instead, it will be a pre-Christmas special called From Russia With Love 9, The Completion. It will be a very long show. It will be epic. It will be very detailed. And it will bring clarity and hopefully will leave you all with solutions. There will be no need for questions following that show. It's bam in your face, and it will also be a very interactive style show as well. Now the following Thursday, December the 30th, will be replaced with a one-off end of year review show. We'll be back shortly. The show must go on, and it will. And the news is tonight is more of a statement of fact. And it's not that we haven't covered before, but it's becoming right in your face now, and we're going to call it out. So, where do we start? Well, another 4.4 million Americans quit their jobs in September, which is eclipsing the 4.3 million who quit in August, and soon there will be no people left to run the country at this rate. And what is Maskman and Pelosi doing about that? Don't suppose they have a single contingency plan should the whole country grind to a halt. And the reality is, why would they change the habit of a lifetime and use common sense? Because these people don't have any. The CIA hotels will be emptying out soon, with no staff to run them. But what has been encouraging is 4.5 million new business startups this year. And I guess people have had enough of working for corrupt bosses. And that will also make people more independent. And if it continues, the authorities' time of running us over will be over. But a couple of chilling examples of how the old bosses put everything before people came to light in the past week or so, and both of them with deadly consequences. But the first one is an Indian guy named Vishal Garg of Better.com. What a wrong choice of company name that is, because they're not better. And he, in his wisdom, decided to arrange a call with 900 staff and just fired them all, just like that. No warning, no consideration, just out the door you go. And apparently Mr. Gog and Magog, I think, has now decided to take some time off due to alleged stress and abuse he received. But one hopes all of the staff from that company walk out and then negotiate better conditions of employment for all the staff before they return. Enough of these people. And that was bad enough. But Jordan, a deadly tornado outbreak this week in Kentucky, it emerged that both the Amazon factory and Mayfield candle factory refused workers' pleas to go home. In fact, the candle maker said, if you leave, you will be fired. Both factories were flattened, and in both, people died. All for the sake of pieces of paper with numbers on. That's the top and bottom line. And then it emerged an Amazon delivery driver was told she would be fired if she did not finish her deliveries and return to the base during the tornado in Illinois that killed 6 Amazon workers. Now, the unnamed Amazon delivery driver shared the text message exchange from December 10th, where her boss threatened that returning to the base would ultimately end with you not having a job come tomorrow. So it's okay to carry on delivering in the middle of twisters. And what we need here is full teaching courses. And this is what the TPC business cooperation model is all about. We've had enough of core pirates. We need cooperative businesses based on staff, not on greed-based psychopaths. And we need full teaching courses of relearning humanity is not based on pieces of paper with numbers on. The safety of people should always come before profits, and those that don't just refuse to work for them. It's that simple. putting people's lives in danger that way for the sake of more profits just shows how far humanity has fallen, and we have much work to do to get it back. Now, following a number of high-profile gaffes by so-called authorities this year, and it would be nice if someone could do a montage of them. There are plenty of them, of faux pas. But the Aussie Clan Prime Minister decided in his wisdom to call the Australian vaccinated people sheep this week. "We have to herd the sheep through the gate," he said. "Indeed, and thanks for validating the alt media, Mr. Morrison, you overbloated sack of shit." Just how much more evidence do people need before they take back the power and remove these arrogant, overbloated psychopaths from ruling over us? And here's another example of proof of how these people really care. As Durham in the United Kingdom Cathedral Church bans parishioners without their Mark of the Beast stamp, better known as a passport. Since when did worshipping so-called God require a passport? And it's all in your face now. I told you all in 2020 onwards we would see. And it's time all of the religious people see through this satanic illusion game known as religion. Religion, or is it Reggie Lyon? In other words, the Lion King. The King of Lying. Or the King of Judah again. Religion is an external control game designed to harvest your energy to off-world entities. Always was, and always will be, until we the people shut it down once and for all. Child fiddlers, child traffickers, organ harvesting, mafias, an all-round death cult that has stolen our energy, in some cases souls, and this is what you are worshipping? Perhaps that's one for the Positive Action Group to take action. The Christian denomination in America fell another 13% in the past decade, according to the latest census. You know what the fastest rising category is? Non-religion. Now at 30%. TikTok psychopaths. A mother from Leander, Texas, had to address the Leander School Board this month, expressing her outrage about a book that contained sexually explicit material that her high school son was reading for class. Now, predictably, the book was about a lawn boy working for Disney. Well, I never. Supposedly is for 9 and 10-year-olds. And it spoke about 10-year-olds sucking each other's dicks repeatedly throughout the book. And this passes off as education. And what is worse is the teachers gives these books out and apparently don't think it is inherently wrong in any way. Teachers, you have either lost your sense of morals and so unfit to teach, or you are part of an agenda that encourages all children to be sexual, which is fulfilling the transgender and multi-letter groups into encouraging pedophilia. And please don't tell me you are following orders, because that is a pathetic excuse and a dereliction of duty to protect the children. You know why we're getting this? Because do you know who runs the education system in this country? The Israelis. The same people that run all the top porn industries. We don't want or need Israeli or Hebrew Anunnaki filth in our schools trying to make us all as corrupt as them. A New York school this week, in freezing temperatures, made the children sit outside on the cold grass to have the lunches. These people seriously don't care. If you value your children, pull them out of these sexualized indoctrination camps. That's all they are. They don't learn nothing. Making them sit outside on the cold grass to have lunches. What is it? Some sort of a prison? Here is a useful questionnaire for people, given the stories so far. Why are doctors, nurses, politicians, teachers, clergy, police, military people, popes, royalty, celebrities and media people all declared as in some way better than us? That we should listen to those people. Where is the evidence of such that they are? There is none. Have doctors and nurses cured us? Have politicians helped the people? Have teachers taught our children well? Would they recognise if they haven't or haven't? Have religious people set a good example? Have the police protected us or the system? Do military protect the country or our sons and daughters? And what good has any pope done for the people? Ended poverty? What good have royalty or celebrities ever done good for the people? And when have the media ever told us the truth? So what makes many people still think these alleged authorities are still better than us? You know why? Your own lack of self-worth is the glue that holds those beliefs of illusion together. That's all. Raise yourself up. We're better than all of those people. Because if a teacher can't see, like that one in Texas, that is inherently wrong, they should not be teaching our children. Or critical thinking bullshit theories. And in reality, these people, they prey on our own weaknesses and exert fake authority over you. These people are not and never were the authority. They are dark arts swindlers cheating a living at our expense. And we have to stop it. A recent Dutch flight was halted on a runway, and the plane was boarded by armed military and a man dragged off the flight. So was he a terrorist, people will cry. No, he is a COVID criminal, it seems. I kid you not. So did he have COVID and was in danger of spreading it? No. He was tested before the flight and has never had COVID. Confused, yeah? Well, it turns out that the Dutch Stasi government has determined, based on his travel history, he might someday get COVID. And so he was forcibly removed from the plane and detained in a concentration camp. COVID camp, same thing. In the event he may get it. What type of psychopathic rhetoric is that? And are you, the Dutch people, going to tolerate that shit? But if that's the criteria, I know, let's arrest Biden and Pelosi, as they are both potentially elderly Alzheimer's patients and may press the nuclear button. Or let's arrest Boris Johnson and Johnson for being an upper-class buffoon who could potentially start a Brexit war. Or let's arrest Anthony Fauci, given he has worked with the AIDS viruses and could potentially pass it on to others. These are dangerous times we're living in on this planet, where all, and I mean all, leaders are exhibiting mass psychosis on an unprecedented scale. And it's up to us to stop it. David Frum, the Canadian-American political commentator, has called on hospitals to quietly kill off the unvaccinated by triaging them out of medical help. This type of psychopathy is spreading globally. Frum, you won't be surprised, is another Jewish-born evil psychopath. Snake oil people work for both sides, it seems. And I've noticed an uptick in cures for the jabs. There are none. Anti-5G gadgets and other assorted items being sold by fear within the alt media. And it's no surprise Life Force is involved in it. Remember their $20,000+ machines they were getting for everyone? Yet another false promise. But Tank is now snake oil selling antidotes to jabs, which is utter rubbish. But you have to remember, before he was peddling lies on the RV, he was a pharmaceutical peddling agent. The classic snake oil. Facebook. Given that they're now blocking people from joining, I'm considering by the end of January shutting the Facebook page down altogether. I refuse to double log in and have, confirmation codes every time I log in. We don't need their Facebook page. I was very close to changing the THI email, because Go Ogle was setting up some two-part identity, where you, every time I logged into the email, I had to get a code off my phone to log in. That'll be a no. Anyway, I found a way to block that two-way identification. If you go into Go Ogle settings, you can delete it. But if Facebook carries on with their stupidity, I will shut the page down. But Facebook finally admits in this past week that their so-called fact checkers are just opinion checkers. Oops. And the truth came out in a court of law from a lawsuit filed against Facebook by journalist John Stossel. And Facebook finally admitted in court that their fact checkers are mere statements of opinion rather than factual assertions. And it appears that this has the potential to open up a massive lawsuit against Facebook for all the people who have had their content taken down due to it being labelled as false by Facebook, when in reality it was just someone who disagreed with the information. Now, me personally, I'm less concerned about people who lost their Facebook page, and I'm far more concerned of how many people were injured or killed by their non-factual information. And in my opinion, and maybe this is something the common law people can look at, Zuckerberg with a silent F and company should be charged with willful manslaughter, along with the BBC fact checkers, because all of them should be charged. Their information has led to hundreds of thousands of injured and hundreds of thousands of deaths. Not based on factual assertions, it said in the court. If you have to lie to make a point, perhaps the point shouldn't have been made to begin with. And many people in the UK can come up with all the names the BBC used as fact checkers. I outed quite a few in our shows, so there'll be a few names in there, and charge them all accordingly with manslaughter. That's how you fight back against these psychopaths. They've been found lying to the public. Here's another clown lying to the public. Biden says the poll ratings of him are misinformation. Oh, the irony, Mr. Masked Man. And he said the truth is, you wouldn't know if he fell over it. He said, the economy's growing. Fuck me, seriously. The economy's growing more than any time in close to 60 years, he said. Yes, Mr. Masked Man. The Wall Street economy is growing, but the public economy isn't. And that's all we're interested in. The employment rate is down to 4.2%. He said, it's going to go lower in my view. How is that possible when 4.2 million Americans per month are quitting their jobs, Biden? Are you running Johns Hopkins math as well, or Common Core? Seriously, this man's a complete jackass. And he said, we do have inflation on things that in fact matter to people's lives. No shit, Sherlock. Did your teleprompter tell you to say that? And then comes up with this classic lie. You know, when you show up at a gas station and it's $3.50 at your pump, although now, because I took 50 billion and then changed it to million barrels out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the gasoline is down below $3 in many places. It's going to come down. It's going to move. No, it hasn't. It was $3.59 to $3.79 on a recent trip I've just taken. So you lie. But that's not the biggest lie, because the barrels that they took out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, Biden sold them all to the great enemy, China. So how is that helping the American consumer? The man is a complete and utter buffoon. And these people wouldn't know the truth if it slapped them in the face. And it's time he did the honourable thing now and stepped down. And not only save Americans from embarrassment, but the rest of the world also. a 79-year-old incompetent and incoherent buffoon who says he will run again in 2024. Seriously. And stupid people will still vote for him because he's a Democrat. Well, I'll ask those Democrats. If Satan himself came down and operated as a Democrat, would you vote for him as well? It's complete banal and idiotic thinking. The last election should be the last of that kind. And by 2024, we could have in place new elections of for and by the people with no AIPAC interference, providing the people come together. Here's another Jackass of the Week award to Richard D. Hansen, a former US Navy SEAL, exhibiting such staggering rhetoric against people who erroneously, in my opinion, put their lives on the line for US freedoms. Tenor then. And this is how they get treated. Treated like common criminals for the audacity of freedom of choice, of which this country allegedly stands upon. What utter bollocks that is. And Mr. Hansen said the harshest punishments are likely to be reserved for personnel who are more blatant in their disobedience. Such as lobbying other troops to refuse the vaccine. And he said that's undermining good order and discipline by encouraging other soldiers to disobey the order. And he said that gets at the heart of military organisation. Indeed. I can imagine a command might take a strict response to that to send a message to others. Order out of chaos, given he referenced the term order twice. But whose order, Mr. Hansen? Are you another jackass puppet following orders of death and stupidity just like the Germans? And he said in the case of the US Navy, an administrative message released on the 30th of October said that active duty personnel who are not fully vaccinated and do not have an exemption will be forced out of the service after their case is sent to a newly established COVID Consolidation Disposition Authority, or better known as COVID Clown Demodelized Assholes. And additionally, a spokesman for the Chief of Naval Personnel said that sailors may have to repay bonuses, special pay, and some training costs if they refuse vaccinations. Utter scandalous behaviour, and this jackass needs to be fired immediately. Speaking to men and women who put their lives on the line in that manner, and the American people are going to tolerate that shit? Now, Mr. Hansen apparently thinks vaccine-related court-martials are unlikely, and they can certainly happen, he said, under certain circumstances. A court-martial conviction is equivalent to a civilian felony conviction in a federal court or a state criminal court. And if there are enough refusals, at some point it would not surprise me if that did happen to someone, he said. He should be court-martialed and committed for treason against we the people and the soldiers. And in fact, given how your top brass really thinks of you, it is time all military personnel step down. and let the badges of dishonour pen pushers fight the wars themselves. It literally defies belief. The arrogance of these people, it seems, knows no bounds. We're going to take your bonuses and pay and make it force you to pay for training costs. Turn it in. All military personnel should step down. White House COVID-19 clown and non-expert Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci has appeared on Fox News and criticising them for staying quiet after the Fox Nation host Laura Logan compared him to a sadistic Nazi doctor Joseph Mengele last week. Don't be so green, Dr. Fauci. Your lies have, like Mengele, killed many thousands of people. And he said, "What I find striking, Chris, is how she gets no discipline whatsoever from the Fox network. How can they let her say that with no comment and no disciplinary action? I'm astounded by that." Touche, Dr. Fauci Green. Nearly a dozen iPhones associated with the US State Department employees were hacked using spyware developed by the Israeli-based NSO group. Well, I never. They're not very speedy at the or observant at the State Department, it seems. And the attacks were carried out in the last several months by an unknown assailant on US officials, either based in Uganda or focused on the country. And previous reporting on the NSO group suggested that US officials' phones may have been targeted using software developed by the NSA? Quite a slip there. Perhaps the NSO is the NSA. Perhaps we'll find out. But Friday's report, I think it was a week last Friday, is the first to confirm successful breaches. And as many as 11 US diplomats received notices from Apple that they may have been targeted with the spyware. And Apple began notifying potential targets around the world that they may have been targeted by the NSO group software on November the 23rd, the same day the tech firm announced a lawsuit against NSO group for allegedly violating its terms of service. Now, the NSO or NSA group, or both, and another Israeli firm, Candiru, were added to the US entity list on November the 3rd after the US government accused the company of being used by foreign governments to maliciously target government officials, journalists, business people, activists, academics, and also embassy workers. And the designation prohibits most transfer of products between US companies and the two firms. In reality land, we have been reporting on this company and others in Tel Aviv for some time now. Are the agencies saying that they are incapable of dealing with a problem until after an event? And this is what our tax dollars goes towards, paying them to spy and hijack us, and yet no one in the corrupt Congress will take any actions, it seems. Faction war fighting coming up. Former Black Sun President Donald Trump has launched a scathing attack on his once close ally. They duped you, you big idiot. As ex-Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu accusing him of disloyalty. disloyalty from Trump. And Trump said he was furious at Nutty Asshole for the way he congratulated Joe Biden on his election victory using an expletive towards him. And he also said he believed he saved Israel from destruction. Really? What about America, Mr. Trump? And Trump accused Nutty Asshole of congratulating Biden too quickly. And, of course, Trump disputed the election result, though his claims, as it stands, were never upheld. We all know it was a fake election. Trump got in on a fake election, so I don't see why he can cry from both sides. And he said the first person who congratulated Biden was Netanyahu, the man that I did more for than any other person I dealt with. Oops. Bibi could have just stayed quiet. He has made a terrible mistake, Trump said. And he was very early, like earlier than most, and I haven't spoken to him since. Fuck him, he said. In reality land, Mr. Trump, Israelis don't give a shit about anybody. And you have learned what we already knew. You were a convenient dancing puppet for them. Pure and simple. But it's ironic that he now mentions loyalty, given Trump showed none of it to the American people. None. Loyalty starts at home, Mr. Trump, not some fake state pushing fake books and fake history. And if loyalty also starts at home, you may want to look at that snake in law you have. Remember the one in the Clowns in Panic show of job closures and shutdowns? Well, the COVID scam has given them an excuse to escalate that plan. And what was announced in the past week is Walgreens are closing several locations and already have, and CVS announced that it would be shuttering nearly 900 locations over the next 3 years. Kmart is continuing to wind down its operations by closing most of its remaining locations, leaving just 6 stores in the continental US, which will be open by the end of the year. Kmart, at its peak in 2002, had 2,100 stores. So, Juicy Smollett was found guilty. But let's see what happens next, shall we? Those crimes he committed are a disgrace to humanity, pure and simple, fueled by Jewish elite money programs and Jewish elite ran media that have been running divisive programs on the people for the last few years now. They've been running a lot longer, but it's ramped up in the last few years. And Mr. Smollett needs to cough up just who put him up to it, or face a longer jail sentence. It's that simple. Racial crime nowadays is almost as bad as being accused of sexual misconduct, which have led to many people being falsely arrested based on victimhood, people and revenge. And a false sexual charge should carry the same sentence as those who did carry out a sexual attack. And as for Smollett, he should also get the same sentence as a person committing a racial assault for lying. In New York, it is said, the early 1990s is back, but it's not just in New York. As many of this country's biggest cities are going backwards in the same way the city of Philadelphia, who just set a new all-time record for murders. And this is happening all over the country. Louisville, Kentucky, Tucson, Arizona and Columbus, Ohio have also set new murder records this year, and with just under 2 months left, or just under 1 month left of 2021, they've already broken the records. Indianapolis has broken its criminal homicide record for the second consecutive year. Cook County, which includes Chicago, just surpassed 1,000 homicides for the first time since 1994. But what's the common thread linking all these cities? And the answer is, look at who's funding the prosecutors. In St. Louis, Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner's campaign took more than $200,000 from a group backed by the billionaire George Soros. Soros knew what he was paying for, as Gardner was open about her desire to stop prosecuting crimes. And 2 years ago, Gardner declared, "We have to tear down the system. The system is going to do what it's going to do, and that is to cause harm." Really? And she's a public official. And she said the system has caused harm by what is called mass incarceration. And Gardner's followed through on that promise, as data from 2019 show that Gardner issued warrants for just 23% of the cases brought by the St. Louis police. Now, Soros has also funded DA Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, Kim Fox in Chicago, and George Gascon in LA. Now, there are no campaign finance limits on these local elections, so Soros is free to spend millions on them, and he's not the only one doing it. Now, Soros was Jewish again, overlooked by not only the mainstream media, but a majority of the corrupt alt-media as well. Now, it's my understanding that Soros died around late 2018-19 time. But it's his foundation, like the Clinton Foundation, that's doing the damage. And all of which reveals is, don't focus on the person or the group, but the program that's running behind it. The corrupt media were behind the last story, and this one as well, as they've been running divisive race rhetoric for at least 3 to 4 years now. But last year, Americans had to run the gauntlet of destruction in their towns and cities, courtesy of Antifa, another funded by the Soros Foundation, and also Black Lives Matter. Did the media report the wanton destruction as it happened? No. They played word salad deflection games. So, it is curious to see how they reported another demonstration that took place recently. And straight off the bat came the racist language of the media. They said this: a group of white supremacists stormed through downtown Washington, D.C., bearing American flags and mildly menacing plastic shields whilst marching to the beat of a snare drum down the steps to the Lincoln Memorial and chanting aggressively about their plans to reclaim America. Their intended show of force stalled spectacularly when they lost their ride home. There was no reports of violence, no reports of fighting with the police, no reports of graffiti or smashing up the town. None. Funny they didn't report that, instead of making racist and threatening overtone statements. And this is why people are turning them off in record numbers. Their time of talking shit is coming to an end. TikTok. This is an interesting piece from their perspective compared to ours. Riddled with the usual fear porn. We have heard thousands of times from NASA and the biblical doom and gloom merchants. Not one event happened. Why? Because we have an ancient detection system that will deal with any incoming rocks or other intended projectiles is why. For evidence of that, look at Tunguska. But their latest, and it's passed by a week now, this was supposed to be on a show a couple of weeks ago, but it's still interesting nonetheless, where they said an asteroid the size of the Eiffel Tower was headed towards Earth on December the 11th, and this asteroid is potentially hazardous due to its size and proximity to Earth. Now, the asteroid called 4660 Nereus was originally discovered in 1982, is about 390 feet long and shaped like an egg. And it will come within 2.5 million miles from Earth, which is 10 times further away than the Moon. And they said, although this distance may seem vast, it isn't by cosmic standards. If the Nereus was closer to Earth, it could do some serious damage. Well, if my auntie had balls, she would be my uncle. It's that simple. And apparently, this is the closest this asteroid has been to Earth in a 20-year period. And now, there have been several missions in the past targeting this asteroid because of the egg shape. Well, you didn't want to boil it. Size and orbital path around the sun, making it an ideal asteroid to visit. And the Nereus may also contain nickel, iron and cobalt worth billions, which makes it a great asteroid to mine. So now you know why they're visiting it. And asteroid mining gained popularity in the early 2010, according to the report. Go back about 60 years. And now big players like Blue Origin, and SpaceX have shown an interest. And this asteroid, they say, is worth $4.71 billion, according to AstroRank, which is a database that monitors more than 600,000 asteroids. So, let's get this right, shall we? They can't work out how to fix global hunger, provide 2.3 billion people with a toilet, provide 1.3 billion people with electricity, and over 50% of the people with decent housing. But they can work out the estimated gains of an asteroid from over 2.5 million miles away. Funny that. Not. Final two pieces before a break. But if you were born after 2008 in New Zealand, you'll never ever be allowed to buy a pack of cigarettes there. In new legislation expected to take hold next year, no cigarette or tobacco products will be available for people to purchase legally in the country. Jacinda with the hard-on and his Nazi friends will no doubt be pleased at their next levels of Zionist fascism. And that means anyone who is 14 as of today will never be allowed to buy them in New Zealand. And a 4-year smoke-free 2025, that date again, action plan hopes to reduce rates of smoking for older people while completely banning sales for the younger population. And we want to make sure young people never start smoking. So we will make it an offence to sell or supply smoked tobacco products to new cohorts of youth, says Verol in a statement, whoever Verol is. And the move comes as New Zealand's health ministry pursues a large-scale crackdown on tobacco in the country. And in April 2021, the country's parliament announced its goals of being smoke-free by 2025, aiming to slowly reduce, phase out, and then entirely cut the prospect of smoking altogether. I would reverse that and do that with all the politicians. Slowly reduce, phase out, and entirely cut politicians out of our lives altogether. But there are already existing barriers to tobacco products in New Zealand, including high taxes and plain packaging on cigarettes. And clinical studies, we'll take them with all the salt in the Salt Lake in Utah, have shown that dramatically reducing nicotine levels in cigarettes makes it far easier for people to quit, according to Verol in Parliament. So the action plan will see New Zealand transition to low nicotine cigarettes. And this is a major change, but it is based on clinical research, which is a load of crap. And it is realistic because with vapes widely available, there is far less harmful option available for smokers who are addicted to nicotine. You know how to fix that problem? A message to all the youth in New Zealand. Move out of that country and into a place where your freedoms and choices will be allowed. If all the youth leave the country, New Zealand will collapse like New York. Who will they impose their fascism on then? Who will serve or pander to the elites then? Let them rot. And let them turn on each other, which is what they're fond of doing. Draconian measures are not for we the people. The solution is simple. Leave them behind and see how far the non-smoking taxpayers will fare paying the increased taxes due to a loss of payers. But you know why they're panicking? Because smokers have the lowest rate of COVID is why. And many people are going back to it. And that'll piss the reps off. Cigarette sales in the US increased in 2020 for the first time in 20 years, according to a new report from the Federal Trade Commission. The country's largest cigarette manufacturer sold 203.7 billion cigarettes last year as the country grappled with stresses from the pandemic, which is up from 202.9 billion in 2019. Or could it be because smoking drastically reduces the chances of getting COVID and several other diseases like lung cancer? Oops. Smoking. Medical news now. So we have 108 FIFA footballers and coaches who have died in the last 6 months, and thousands of others have collapsed with heart attacks or similar. And now we have confirmation, according to ALPA, Airline Pilots Magazine, that only one pilot died in 2019, only six pilots died in 2020, and incredibly, 111 have died in the first 9 months of this year. The great question is, could that be called a pilot program or an app? A panel of US non-experts has voted unanimously to recommend Pfizer and mRNA vaccines over the Johnson & Johnson, which has now been linked to deadly side effects. Only now, not very speedy, are they? But according to the CDC, a total of 57 J&J patients have developed a rare blood clot disorder. 9 people are known to have died so far, 7 women and 2 men. And the rest, I might add. But all of this after a total of 16 million US residents have received the J&J vaccine. It's funny, but we warned of it last year. And it takes the so-called experts all this time to work it out. Not content with their neighbours New Zealand exhibiting Zionist fascism, the Australian government for months now has been imprisoning people that it deems to be a risk of contracting or infecting others with COVID-19 and force them into isolation in state-sanctioned quarantine camps. And according to a 26-year-old Hayley Hodgson, who spent weeks in a quarantine camp despite the fact she had never tested positive for COVID-19, she said, being locked up in this manner, it's like you're in a prison. Indeed, you are. She said, it's horrible and a horrible feeling. You feel like you're in a prison. You feel like you've done something wrong. It's inhumane what they're doing. You feel so small, they just overpower you and you're literally nothing. And she said, it's like you do what we say or you're in trouble and we'll lock you up for longer. And they were threatening her that if she didn't shut up, that they would extend her time in the camp. Now, Hodgson moved from one end of the country in Melbourne to Darwin at the other end to escape totalitarian COVID measures enacted by the Australian government, but quickly found herself as a prisoner in her state's quarantine camps, even though she didn't have the virus. And Australian officials first confronted her after one of her friends had tested positive. Told you about those tracing apps, didn't I? And investigators found Hodgson by running her scooter license plate. They interrogated her and asked if she'd been tested. And since she was a close contact of the now COVID-infected friends. Now Hodgson, who had yet to get a COVID test, lied and said she'd already been swabbed. So then the police officers blocked her driveway and she walked out and I said, what's going on? Are you guys going to test me for COVID? What's happening? They said, no, you're getting taken away and you have no choice. You're going to Howard Springs. Perhaps that's something people in Australia can target that building and let them know we're not going to tolerate it. And they threatened it by saying, either you come with us now and we'll put you in the back of the divvy van, or you can have a choice to get a COVID jab. Now, Miss Hodgson says she didn't consent to this, and she didn't understand why I can't just self-isolate at home like a lot of other people are doing. And they said, we've just been told from higher up where to take you, and that's all there is to it. Now, Hodgson said she was told she would be released after testing negative for COVID-19, but when she arrived at the facility, she was escorted by figures in hazmat suits to a room where she would stay for 14 days, with meal deliveries occurring just once a day. And she was tested 3 separate times during detention, but was forced to stay in isolation anyway. And she said that when she tried to leave her cabin cell to walk outside, she was threatened with a $5,000 Australian fine for not wearing a face covering. Now, whilst she was in the facility also reportedly offered her drugs such as Valium to calm her down. Now, since her detention, she's lost her job at a store, and at no stage was she reminded of her rights or put in contact with a lawyer. Now, the Australian officials established the Howard Springs quarantine camp near Darwin last August with the intent of imprisoning anyone they believed to be possibly infected with COVID-19 and then forcing them into isolation. Now, despite the fact that the Northern Territory, where Howard Springs is located, has not seen a single COVID death, the old mining camp turned unofficial prison, which can hold up to 2,000 people at one time. And just this week, Australian police recaptured 3 people who attempted to flee the COVID camp. And the trio of escapees tried to jump the fence after testing negative for the virus one day prior. These are just out-and-out Stasi tactics, and the cops should be ashamed of themselves for carrying it out. And I'm not buying they are following orders shit either. Imprisoning people for no wrongdoing is just plain wrong. As for the cops over there, your status with the Australian people was bad enough. But what happens when the people get angry? Who do you think they will turn their ire against? Yes, you, the cops. So you have a choice. Serve and protect the people, or pay a heavy price further down the line when the lawsuits start to mount up. Do you still think following orders is the right thing to do? Cops, medical officials, doctors and nurses, jabbers, care home people, media, school boards, fact checkers and politicians will all run the multi-lawsuit racket when it unfolds. I suspect early next year. The World Horror Organization said this week that children in the 5 to 14 age group now account for the highest rates of reported COVID-19 infection in Europe. Yes, and anyone with common sense sees that ties in with them being jabbed. Remember at the beginning of this scam, they said children were almost totally immune. But they get the jabs and suddenly they're all infected. Now, the Horror Organization European Regional Director Dr. Hans Kluge has argued that the vaccine mandates should be an absolute last resort, indeed, and said that the COVID-19 deaths remain significantly below previous peaks. I'm not too sure that's right, Mr. Kluge, which is why they brought the latest variant out to cover up their crime. But he said that coronavirus cases and deaths have more than doubled in the last 2 months, well, I never, in the 53-country region stretching to Central Asia, which is again down to the vaccines. The Brazil Supreme Court has opened up an inquiry into comments made by the President Jair Bolsonaro, who claimed that COVID-19 vaccines may increase the chance of contracting AIDS. And the comments made during a social media live stream saw him temporarily banned from Facebook and YouTube under their fake news policies. Well, Facebook and YouTube should be banned. Now the court has found out that they've been lying. Now, Mr. Bolsonaro has frequently cast doubts over the effectiveness of vaccines, and he's already facing a separate inquiry into his handling of the pandemic. But during the live stream, Mr. Bolsonaro claimed that reports suggest that people who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 are developing acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, much faster than expected. And the assertion has been strongly rejected by scientists and medical experts. Well, we'll ignore them then, because they don't have a clue, as we've found out. Now, Mr. Bolsonaro has refused to get vaccinated himself, has defended the comments and claimed that he was simply quoting from an article in a magazine. But on the Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes ruled that Mr. Bolsonaro had used the modus operandi of mass dissemination schemes and social networks, which called for further investigation. It's funny that, because Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Telegram, mainstream media and several other platforms are using the modus operandi of mass dissemination schemes in favour of their cash cow and death jabs. But what is interesting now is people are now connecting the dots between the jabs and AIDS. Given Dr. Green Fauci was involved in the AIDS research, remember, and also the jabs industry. Is it connected? Well, if you followed our expose series last year, you bet it is. On August the 17th this year, a Bloomberg, born in and born to, headline was stated that South Africa expects fourth wave of COVID-19 to start early December and last for 75 days. August the 17th. Said to start on December the 2nd. What magical prophecy that is. Which means the fourth wave, which is Omicron, ends on Massacre Sacrifice Day, known as St. Valentine's Day. How convenient. Should we expect lockdowns, which is actually martial law, in between the said dates? It's already started, just as I warned a few months ago. A Slovenian nurse walked out of her job last week with bottles of the vaccines to explain the codes on the bottles. Now, we said last year, bottles were designated for individuals by code. And this is what she revealed. Jab 1, placebo, saline. Not all of them. Jab 2, mRNA jab. Jab 3, mRNA and oncogene, which is a mutated gene. Hence the gene therapy that triggers the development of cancer. And she said people who have received it will develop soft tissue cancer within the next 2 years. Dr. Thomas Henges, who's head of the Chemnitz Clinic in Germany, committed suicide recently by jumping from the top of the clinic's building in Flemingstrasse, Germany. He was 55 years of age. The doctor died on the spot from his injuries. Why did he commit suicide? Because he said he can no longer want to be part of the genocide that is happening via the COVID-19 vaccines, and described them as biowarfare agents. And he's also said to ascribe the vaccine in his letter as genocide and a crime against humanity. Hear, hear, Mr. Genders. Rest in peace, but your efforts will not be in vain. Here's a short piece that reveals an awful lot more. We conclude that the mRNA vax dramatically increase inflammation on the endothelium, which is a layer of cells lining the blood vessels, and T-cell infiltration of the cardiac muscle, and may account for the observations of increased thrombosis, which is clotting, cardiomyopathy, which is a group of diseases that affect the heart muscle, and other vascular events following vaccination. And a new study of 566 patients who received either the Pfizer or the Moderna RNA vaccines shows that signs of cardiovascular damage soared after the shots. The risk of heart attacks or other severe coronary problems more than doubled months after the vaccinations were administered, based on changes in markers of inflammation and other cell damage. Patients at a 1 in 4 risk for severe problems after the vaccines, compared to 1 in 9 before. Calgary Freedom Central Group has received numbers of reports in the past week or so of nurses at Alberta's Children's Hospital warning parents to not get the jabs. And they said the hospital has seen a large influx of children suffering severe adverse reactions, and that the hospital is doing everything it can to keep it quiet and to gag the staff. Just what type of society are we living in? That you would cover up children suffering. All of the staff need to walk out en masse until the hospital comes clean. And all that are gagging the staff need to be fired and charged with manslaughter. But this whole ranking of stupidity virus has been that way right from the off. PCR tests, people claiming retard status by spearing their own brains and standing there and just watching it. which then morphed into covidiates, of acquiring a fake diseases given to them by the system, and the power of thought does the rest. But remember, this virus is magic. It has its own watch, its own measuring tape, its own calendar, and did something no medical expert has done in decades, and cured the flu. But still, the stupid believed. They lined up for their idiot jabs, which was told to them was a miracle cure, and all hail the pharma giants. One jab turned into two, and we will return to normal. Yeah, right. But then the deaths and injuries from the covidiate jabs began to ramp up. So they decided they would go cryptic and use anagrams for the next variant of stupidity. This time it was called moronic. And still the Milgram experiment people lined up. Remember that guy, you know, the guy who gets things right a tiny bit. Promising Christmas lockdowns due to engineered surge created by the vaccines themselves. Well, the UK and Holland and others have already started. Through 2021 will go down as the years the clowns showed just how stupid, gullible and childlike the people are. There are no ifs or buts anymore. The only real variant amongst the masses is the variance or degrees of rank stupidity. Did you know there are 45 million laws in this country, America? 45 million laws. Why do we need millions of laws? Do they increase our liberties? Or do they have the opposite effect of shrinking them? And the article said, at this pace, how close do you think we are to a dictatorship form of government in the United States of America? When you just noticed. But the great question is, why haven't the religious complained about the laws, given their God only gave 10? Isn't that by definition going against their God? Welcome to the lunatic asylum. And again, no one asks the obvious questions when attempting to live in another country, like why are they called aliens, illegal or otherwise? Why are we seeking the asylum? Are we all nuts? And the greatest question in relation to that is, how can you be illegal on your own planet? Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, the quote says. I will add my own quote. Those that will trade their own sanity for a bit of safety end up losing both, and ultimately their lives as well. Now that is stupid. Right, where do we go next? India. I think there's clearly something in the water. Australia, New Zealand and India. Because there was an event recently in India that literally defies belief. As a group of students have been jailed for showing support to the Pakistan cricket team who had just beaten India. And for that, they got arrested and have been held in jail since October on charges of sedition. You can't make this shit up. And no lawyers will represent them. That is blatant racism and should be stamped out by the good people of India and Pakistan. Jailed for supporting a cricket team? Dearly me. But will Biden sanction India for human rights abuses now? Suspect not, given India is another Israeli puppet country. As it emerges, the latest great alt-media hope and how he's fighting for the people now. Robert F. Kennedy has revealed quite a few good things for the alt-media, but don't for one second think it is for our benefit. It's faction wars. But what has came to light is Kennedy and his wife arranged a party and asked all the guests to be jabbed. He, like the rest of his Irish mafia family, is working for the Black Sun crew. Corona and everything related is a name for a psychological information warfare program on the public. Pure and simple. In essence, you can think of it as a Hollywood movie script for the public, like most news in the media. It is fictional reality, and the news has become a commodity. Narratives are being sold, and delusional masses not able to distinguish between reality and fiction. So we have had Delta, and now after a quick jump from new to Omicron. But what is interesting is that Delta and Omicron is an anagram of media control. Funny that, isn't it? I guess our show Fact is Fiction and Fiction is Fact was right all along. But as for us, we are the great unvaccinated. We have not bought into the Farmageddon right from the off. Here is some more common sense. And I see it's catching on not only in our group, but many others now. So the great unjabbed never got involved. And subsequently, we're not that interested in going for PCR tests. So that means the not-so-great jabbed, all the new cases and the positive tests are all done by those who bought into the propaganda. Farmageddon description. A Jewish-Hebrew Anunnaki medical conspiracy designed to kill and injure many people and make lots of shekels. Whilst putting people in fear, rendering them comatose, oblivious to the obvious dangers, and prepared to give up their freedoms, lifestyles, jobs, businesses, friends and family members. Welcome to Farmageddon. Brought to you by psychotic, greed-based billionaires of a decidedly Jewish flavour. It's time we did a Passover of them, methinks, and feed them to the pigs. Well, here is some more common sense analysis. The last 12 months we have seen the Farmageddon crew go to great lengths to cover the facts up that their vaccines have caused heart inflammation, blood clots, and indeed heart failure. So the solution to that niggling problem? Introduce Omicron, which is said to cause, wait for it, heart inflammation, blood clots, and heart failure. What pure genius by the clowns that is. But sadly, a vast majority of stupid bots will not see the connection or see through the illusion game that they are playing. They introduced a variant to cover up the damage their vaccines are doing. And the great question for the bots and their digital identities they are also fond of is, does your QR code stand for quintessential retard? Or more up to date, was Q a retard? 13 months on now from the last post, where is the great Q? The Great People's Saviour Programme. Well, go and press your QR code to find out why. Here is another of their deliberately engineered and pre-planted stories to garner more sympathy and continuously remind the public of the plight of only one group of people. A parenting campaign group has criticised the deeply inappropriate request from a school, in the UK this is, for pupils to wear a yellow badge to show they are exempt from wearing a mask, which then forced many into making a comparison to the yellow stars forced upon the Jewish people in Nazi-occupied Europe. You know why they did that assumption? Because it has been brainwashed into them from all angles is why. Now, Alison Pearson from The Telegraph had circulated last week excerpts of an email from the headmaster of Farrington School in Chislehurst, Kent, advising parents that children who are exempt from wearing a mask in school should wear a yellow badge to identify themselves. Really? Does this story make any sense? No? It's a programme then, isn't it? And it's time more and more people see it for what it is. A stealth, guilt and shame programme ran on the people just like their churches have ran on the people for centuries. Same programme, same people or entities is why. China, next, has reported its lowest birth rate since 1978 of 8.52 births per 1,000 people in 2020, and these numbers are getting dangerously close to their death rate. And according to the National Bureau of Statistics, the death rate last year was 7.07 compared to 8.52 in births per 1,000 people. And that means that the natural growth rate of the population is at a record low of 1.45 compared to 3.32 in 2019. Now, the birth rate, it is said, has been steadily declining since 2016 after decades of family planning policies and the changing economic climate. And according to census data released by China in spring, 12 million babies were born in 2020, which is the lowest number since 1961. With people aged 60 and over accounting for 18.8% of the 1.4 billion population, China now faces a major problem of an aging population. Sound familiar? Yes, because it's been employed in every country around the world is why. And despite the recent decision to allow all couples to have a third child and other measures taken to increase birth rates, the Chinese authorities admit that an increasing number of Chinese people from all ethnic groups are choosing to marry late and to have smaller families for economic and educational reasons. Even the number of marriage registrations dropped this year to 814 per 10,000 couples. And the next 10 years will be a major turning point for my country's population to enter negative growth, warned He Dan, who is the director of the Chinese Population Development and Research Center. Yet more evidence of the decline in births, and yet they still peddle Johns Hopkins level maths of over 7.5 billion people. What a load of bollocks that is. The Jewish Chinese plan is working, it seems. I've covered several times in different shows about the North and South Pole not being as their science reveals. And it seems science is now catching up again on this item. And there have been quite a few of these recently. And predictably, they have no idea why. When one just has to use common sense to reveal a much bigger picture. But the report says one area in the Earth's atmosphere is proving that space is not as uniform as many believe. No shit, Sherlock. The Humanity Unplugged show revealed that. What was that, 4 years ago? Because without all primary matters, life cannot exist. But there is an area which is around 250 miles above the North Pole, which scientists have now found has a funnel-shaped gap which opens up in the Earth's magnetic field every day at noon local time when the sun is at its highest point. That is the vortex, as above, so below, we spoke about. And mostly the magnetic field prevents any particles of the sun reaching the planet, according to scientists. But the gap creates a space where solar winds interact with the planet's atmosphere, causing issues for satellites and spacecraft. Wrong! The magnetic field was the veil, and was used like a Faraday cage for those who were on and in the planet. And it says, besides interfering with radio and GPS signals in the region, NASA scientists have also noticed that spacecraft passing through the region, known as a polar cusp, seem to slow down. Because time is not what we are led to believe either, is why. And NASA are trying to find the reasons behind these strange occurrences. And Mark Conder, CREX 2 principal investigator and physicist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, said at around 250 miles above Earth, spacecraft feel more drag, sort of like they've hit a speed bump. Indeed. And the reason being is because they are in the Earth grid vortex is Y. The vortex puts out the inner sun and takes in from the outer sun and then creates the charged particles we know as the northern and southern lights. They should have worked it out earlier when they said the funnel-shaped gap which opens up the Earth's magnetic field every day at noon local time when the sun is at its highest point. That means the sun is in alignment with the inner sun and it starts to interact. And these are the experts. Well, at least they're catching up to some point anyway. The Anunnaki toiling in the gold mines sparks mutiny. And it was said in the past that Enki and Ner-Hisag created primitive workers through genetic manipulation of ape woman. And they took over the manual chores of the Anunnaki. This is surrounding the myth that they created us. They never. But that piece got me pondering deeply. Genetic manipulation of ape woman to create primitive workers in the mines. Is this the actual origin of the Neanderthals or other ape-like species, none of which ties directly to us and is only shoehorned in to fit their Darwinian narrative? Science has tried to find the missing link and still throws up the rubbish of ape man or woman. But ape man was not our or Source's creation, just the fake gods and the narcissistic traits. Did the Anunnaki create the Neanderthals? We've mentioned about the vowels in the past and how the Jewish don't use it because they think they're the gods and so you should vow to them. Vow El, vow to God. But what is not known is the great vowel shift. That was a series of changes in the pronunciation of the English language that took place primarily between the 1400s and the 1700s. Oops. I think I've mentioned those dates before. Beginning in southern England and today having influenced effectively all dialects of English. And through this vowel shift, the pronunciation of all Middle English long vowels was changed. Some consonant sounds changed as well, particularly those that became silent, a bit like Zuckerberg with a silent F or banker with a silent W. But the term the great vowel shift is sometimes used to include these consonant changes. And English spelling started being standardized in the 15th and 16th centuries, and the great vowel shift is the major reason English spellings now often deviate considerably from how they represent pronunciations. The great vowel shift was first studied by Otto Jespersen, who was a Danish linguist and Anglicist who coined the actual term. And the causes of the great vowel shift have been a source of intense scholarly debate, and as yet, there is no firm consensus. Well, I never. and the greatest changes occurred during the 15th and 16th centuries, all of which coincides with the crown agent known as King James writing the Bible of their story. Same time. They shifted the whole language. It's a bit like the Lord came down to change the languages, remember? Lord being Anu. But scholars go to great lengths to come up with non-common sense answers. And they said population migration was one of the causes. Some scholars have argued that the rapid migration of peoples from northern England to the southeast following the Black Death caused a mixing of accents that forced a change in the standard London vernacular. Others argue that the influx of French loanwords was a major factor in the shift. Yes, because French is Latin and Latin is reptilian. And others have said that because of the increasing prestige of French pronunciations along the middle classes, perhaps related to the English aristocracies, read the crown, switching from French to English around this time, a process of hypercorrection may have started a shift that unintentionally resulted in vowel pronunciations that are inaccurate imitations of French pronunciations. But an opposing theory states that the wars with France and general anti-French sentiments caused hypercorrection deliberately to make English sound less like French. Now, the main difference between the pronunciation of Middle English in the year 1400 and modern English received pronunciation is in the value of the long vowels. Now, long vowels in Middle English had consonantal values, much like those in Italian and Standard German. In Standard Modern English, they have an entirely different pronunciations. And the differing pronunciations of English vowel letters do not stem from the great shift as such, but because English spelling did not adapt to the changes. Now, German had undergone vowel changes quite similar to the great shift in a slightly earlier period, but the spelling was changed accordingly. For example, Middle High German Bizen, B-I-Z-E-N, and the modern German B-E-I-B-E-N, which means to bite, indeed. And this timeline shows the main vowel changes that occurred between late Middle English in the year 1400 and received pronunciation in the mid-20th century by using representative words. And the great vowel shift occurred in the lower half of the table between 1400 and 16 to 1700. And the changes that happened after 1700 are not considered part of the great vowel shift. Perhaps the changes in pronunciation came in with the Sesui KV Act, 1666, certainly fits. But pronunciation is given in the International Phonetic Alphabet. And before the Great Vowel Shift, Middle English in Southern England had 7 long vowels, not 5. The usual A, E, I, O, U, with a number 3 mirrored backwards, and the other vowel was the letter C tipped upside down and reversed backwards also. What happened to those and why? Now, the vowels occurred in, for example, the words bite, meet, meet, mate, boat, boot and out respectively. And what this all proves is why we should never trust their translations. as it was all to fit a narrative of one group said to be the chosen people. But the great question is, if the Jewish are the chosen people, then why do so many of them live in abject poverty? Perhaps the positive action group should write and ask Eli the Weasel that very question. We at THI have covered many topics, and generally this is the expose session, and it is a expose of sorts, and it's all about money. So there's three separate stories, in fact four I think, all linked together, and it will give you a greater insight as to how money works, how it's created, and how we are robbed of it in basic terms. But if the stark reality about who pays the majority of taxes is not clear by now, this little analysis will bring it home. And analysis of tax data for the 25 richest Americans quantifies just how unfair the system has become. And by the end of 2018, the 25 were worth $1.1 trillion. That has increased rapidly since then. Now, for comparison, it would take 14.3 million ordinary American wage earners to put together to equal that same amount of wealth. The top 25, 1.1 trillion, 14.3 million Americans. Combined wealth just equals the top 25. Now, the personal federal tax bill for 2018 for the top 25 was $1.9 billion. The bill for the wage earners, $143 billion. Says it all. Poland's Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki stated that starting in December, the government will cut tax on fuel and on energy and will offer bonuses to the hardest hit households next year to counter inflation that has reached its highest level since 2001. And Morawiecki said that the so-called anti-inflation shield would cost the government some 10 billion zlots, which is about $2.4 billion, while additional funds will come from spending cuts. Well, I never. A clever politician doing something sensible for and by the people. Something that far more richer countries seem incapable of. Now, during an interview with Emergent C, Melissa Kayume, who is a Northern Irish investor and researcher, discussed the economic impact of lockdowns and what she believes are the real reasons why governments are enforcing stringent measures across the world. Inflation is here and people need to prepare for it, she warned. And earlier this year, Sayumi released a video message lauding the success of lockdowns in ruining global economies and also livelihoods. And her video message went viral across the social media. Now, Sayumi's concerns are the economic aspects about events since the beginning of 2020 and this is the aspect where she has focused her research on. And in her interview, she explained that things started to go wrong when the United States dollar, the reserve currency, came off the gold standard. And she said in early August 1971, listen closely, France sent a warship to New York Harbour with the instructions to bring back its gold from the New York Federal Reserve Bank. Oops. And on August 15th, 1971, Richard Nixon suspended convertibility of the US dollar into gold, and that was the beginning of an era of fiat money. And this enabled the United States to live beyond its means through annual budget and trade deficits and a growing national debt. And this debt-based system that was created in truth collapsed in 2008. That was because Marduk pulled the plug on them. And then we saw the rise of the fake fiat money and also double fake money called crypto coins. Bitcoin is the largest and most well-known death currency, but it wasn't the first attempt at a digital decentralized currency, because earlier versions of cryptocurrency existed well over a decade before Bitcoin's first line of code were written in 2009. The first lines of code written in 2009. What a coincidence that is. The cryptographer and computer scientist David Shoum is often credited with laying the intellectual and technological groundwork for Bitcoin. And Shoum pioneered the binding signature protocol as a way to encrypt information and data. He created electronic money company DigiCash in 1995, which utilized his privacy protecting formula to establish one of the first forms of digital cash. David Shoum, born too. What another surprise that is. Not. Now, Soumi said the events of 2020-2021 should have all happened around 2008. But they managed to reinflate the balloon, she said, using quantitative easing and the printing of money by central banks. And there's an ability that they can create money out of nothing and loan it to the government, who then pay them back with interest, Soumi said. They've been doing that since the Federal Reserve started in 1913. In August 2019, there was an annual meeting of economists and bankers with a silent W at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium, where they decided to go direct. And one suspects that that was the week we gave warnings on our show about August the 15th through 17th that month. But those of you have been reading the transcripts, go back and check it. But looking back now, it was clear the trustee was not capable of stopping that event unfolding, or was complicit in it. Only she knows the answers, but given she refuses to answer any questions of a valid nature, one suspects she will remain as a co-conspirator until full proof is garnered to we the people. Bearing in mind, the trustee also said she had blocked the Fed from producing any currency. Well, clearly not. And in an article summary, Going Direct Reset, John Titus wrote that at Jackson Hole, BlackRock instructed the Fed. This is August 2019 now, which is a full 7 months before the trustee gave them the funds to take over the Fed, to get money into wholesale and retail hands when the next downturn arrived, which, as luck would have it, occurred less than a month later. And this was, in its essence, BlackRock's going direct plan, and it anticipates exactly what the Fed began doing quite successfully under the cover of the pandemic. Now, the downturn Titus was referring to was Sayumi's described as a crisis on the repo market, and in the following month, October 19, event 201 was held. Event 201 was a pandemic simulation exercise hosted by the World Economic Forum for the world's elites. And the reason 201 is so critical is because the simulation was so accurate, and there has been another simulation from the World Economic Forum in 2020, which was about cyber attacks. And the current one, Cyber Polygon, is a cyber attack on the supply chain. And she said, have a look at the three simulations, because they have quite a lot of accuracy in what they're reporting. Now, Sayumi also discussed how money is created, what is real money, the difference between money and currency, hyperinflation, and how you can protect your money and prepare yourself for what is to come. She said, we have been fooled into believing that currency is money, and people have this idea that that is my money in the bank. It's not, she said. Should that bank become insolvent, you will be given shares of an insolvent bank currency representing money. Now, I warned of that in the first show of 2015 on Cosmic Voice at the time, because both the UK and America installed those plans in bills on January the 1st, 2015, in the event of a crisis of the banks would shut and the people would lose their money, because the money belongs to the bank. That's what it said. But nowadays, almost all money is created ex nihilis, out of thin air. And it's not backed by gold or other such physical objects, but simply entered into a ledger on computers. And the following is a summary of a series of articles written by an anonymous investment banker. And in its own words, the wizards of money will take a critical look at the mechanics of the capital and debt markets, who makes the critical decisions that drive them, and how these markets then affect everybody's lives. Exactly how does money get created? So let's talk about the actual mechanics of money creation. Well, money creation happens in two ways. First, the creation of base money, which is mostly physical currency notes created by the Federal Reserve. The second money creation process involves checking account or deposit money created by the commercial banks, and which makes up most of the money supply, which is called high-powered money. The base money, also called high-powered money, is created when the Federal Reserve performs what are known as open market operations. And in this process, the Federal Reserve injects money by buying government securities, which then becomes debt owed by the government, which is all passed on to the American taxpayer by the Federal Reserve. So what are government securities? Well, they are IOUs, promises to pay back the principal plus interest at a given time, which is actually 10% per dollar, and auctioned at the open market. So where does the Federal Reserve get this money to buy the government securities? Well, it just makes it up out of thin air, because the Federal Reserve has no budget. And quite simply, because it doesn't need one, it invents money wherever and whenever it needs it. And formally speaking, the Fed has added securities to its assets, which it has paid for by creating a liability on itself in the form of bank reserve balances or Federal Reserve notes. Bank reserve balances, Fed accounts for public banks, and Federal Reserve notes together form high-powered money. In fact, almost all money we come by has its basis in high-powered money that the Federal Reserve invented at some time in the past. And most of this base money is currency in the form of Federal Reserve notes. Notes also means debt. And the Federal Reserve then creates a spurious liability on its balance sheet called Federal Reserve Notes Outstanding, and in return gets an asset in the form of government securities, which the public must repay through the efforts of real work or labour. And every time the Federal Reserve creates or extinguishes base money, the financial press and other mainstream media reports it as a Greenspan interest rate announcement, which is not technically correct, but it does sound more palatable than saying that the Federal Reserve just made up some money up or just made some money disappear. The Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC. And the most important function of the FOMC is to increase or decrease the money supply. And it does this by the deliberate and judicious buying and selling of securities on behalf of the 12 Federal Reserve banks. And the FOMC can, without informing the government, the public, or the banks, because its meetings are held in secret, increase or decrease the reserves of the banks. For example, if it wants the money supply to increase, it will buy government securities. If it wants the money supply to decrease, it will sell securities. Now, the Federal Reserve banks can buy an unlimited amount of securities because they do not have to pay for the securities with anything. They pay for the securities by making bookkeeping entries in the members' banks' reserve accounts. And it is reasonable to conclude that the Federal Reserve system, through its operations of the FOMC, is in a position to control, to large extent, the economic conditions of the country. And as an example, in May 1975, the government paid out a rebate check of up to $200 to each individual who paid 1974 US income taxes. In June 1975, the government paid $50 to every recipient of Social Security insurance, supplemental security income, or railroad retirement annuity or pension payments. And the government officials paid out that money in order to increase the money supply in circulation, with the hope that these actions would increase the buying and selling of goods and services and thus create more jobs. but the one side effect of that action was that the government officials had to incur additional interest-bearing debts in order to make those payments. So what happened? Well, about July the 1st, 1975, the prime interest rates began to increase. Just like what is happening now. The Fed just bought up a load of government securities. They're now pulling it and now saying they're going to increase interest rates 3 times in the next 12 months. Between July 1st and August the 8th, 1975, the prime interest rates increased about 1%, from 6.75 on July the 1st to 7.75 on August the 8th. The FOMC buys and sells securities in secret. It does not tell the public the amount of securities it buys and sells until weeks later. However, the people who understand what makes the interest rates go up or down can deduce what actions the FOMC has taken. And when the interest rates increased in July 1975, we could conclude that the FOMC offered for sale on the open market enough securities to cause the price of the securities to decline. And that act caused the interest rates to rise. And we thus witnessed the situation in which government officials incurred an extra interest-bearing debt to increase the money supply in circulation, and almost at the same time the FOMC took action to decrease the money supply. Bank credit. Once this base money is created, banks can create around 10 times this amount in checking accounts and other deposits. And they do this by making loans to the non-bank public, and a corresponding amount of checking account money is created for each new loan. So most money is created just by bankers writing some new numbers on a piece of paper, or these days entering some new bits and bytes in a computer, since money is really now just a bunch of computer records. And this means that when you go to borrow money to buy a house or a car, the money is really being created out of thin air by the bank and being credited to the checking account of the seller. The bank has a distinct advantage in all this just by being a bank. For if you can't pay the loan through your hard work, they automatically get the house, and all they did was write some numbers into the computer. From the bank's perspective, however, if you don't pay off the loan, which is actually their loan, not ours, they would have to write down their asset, which is your loan, and this would affect the earnings they report. Well, bully for them. And if lots of people did this, the bank would go belly up. Or they get clowns like Biden or other US presidents to bail them out. So you can see why they want to keep the house if you don't pay your loan. They are taking a financial risk too, albeit one created out of thin air. How is that a financial risk? For what purposes money is created? It is only bank managers and the Open Markets Committee of the Federal Reserve Board that decide how much money gets created, and importantly, for what purposes money should be created. And these decisions are all entirely closed to public input. Decisions on making new money will be based on whether a lender can repay and how much interest the lender can bring in, which is what creates bank profits. This means most money will be created to lend to people that already have lots of previously created money and lots of advantages in life. In other words, the people who already have money. Disadvantaged people will often be denied access to the money creating process, except under exploitative circumstances, which are likely to see high interest rates and or ultimate possession of their assets and resources by the bank. That is what drives the class system. And I've said this before, it seems you are predetermined around 18 years of age as to how much you will or can earn. This is based on the tax code. And it's actually written into your tax code, as I understand it. So they assess how much that person will earn over a lifetime, which is why you get a certain tax code and others don't. And this is why certain people will never get job promotions, because they have allocated and stated what you will earn for your life. And the only way you can change that is by running your own business and jumping out of the harvesting system. So alternatively, the more disadvantaged will have to seek money from non-bank entities that have already accumulated lots of money, and this often leads to exploitation. And what this also means is that money is not created for things most desired by society as a whole. In fact, it is often created for exactly the things that society does not want at all. A bit like war. And this includes projects that involve excessive destruction of natural resources, like logging, building power plants, mining, and so forth, because the bank realizes that such projects are likely to bring back the money that will pay off the loans. And that really can be described as wanton destruction of the planet. And yet these greed-based psychopaths want us to pay for it via climate change. I think not. It is also should be interesting to know that money is almost never created for the purpose of providing public goods, such as education and healthcare, for such services will not pay the bank back. Rather, these services depend on recycled money through the tax system. And so there you have it. No taxes are used for our benefit. Hence, it's not surprising that we have reached a situation where monetary value and social value are inversely correlated. And by this I mean that a good or service with a high monetary value in private property markets generally has a low social value. And conversely, high social value goods and services generally return a low monetary value. And this is illustrated in the example where public goods providers, such as teachers, are some of the lowest paid workers, yet currency trading is perhaps the most lucrative profession there is, and has also become one of the most socially destructive. And it is reasonable to expect that this situation would be largely reversed by taking social factors and public input into consideration at the point of money origination. And it is clear that origination of money at commercial banks is undemocratic and so encourages the creation of money or loans for many undesirable activities. But often overlooked is the unchecked power of the Fed, the creator of base money. And one of the best reminders of this power is the then Federal Reserve Governor Paul Volcker's hike in interest rates in 1979 that triggered the Latin America debt crisis. And this came at tremendous cost to the people of Latin American countries, which are now heavily controlled by Israel and the psychotic elements within the CIA. And while the activities of OPEC, the commercial banks and various dictators played a major role in laying the foundations of this crisis, the final push was decided at one committee meeting conducted behind closed doors. The FOMC meetings have never been open to public input or scrutiny. While summaries of meetings are posted almost immediately, the full transcripts of FOMC are not even available until 5 years after the event. And that's yet more evidence they have something to hide, but yet more evidence that we the people allowed them to get away with it. It is important to be concerned that the money origination process is not subject to democratic accountability. And many of these problems could be remedied if the public had more input into the decisions surrounding the origination of money. And this requires an entirely different paradigm of thinking about money than we have today. It is a very complex problem and there are no simple answers. Well, I disagree with that. There are several simple solutions or answers that have come out of our show alone. But at the very least, it should be high on the list of topics for public debate. And in addition, once you understand the process for creating money out of thin air, you begin to see what banks and the Federal Reserves do is not so difficult after all. Now, some hope for better money is starting to materialise from local or alternative money systems such as LETS and Ithaca hours. Now, both of them are time banking methods, which was adopted in the early 1900s. And Ithaca hours was run in New York, and one Ithaca hours was equivalent then to $10. But I can't see that system working outside of a local community. Because, like life in general, there will only be a few doers and lots of takers, and the system collapses. So time banking, we have to change the mindset of people away from greed before being able to run those systems more successfully. So what is the zero-sum game? And what is often overlooked about the monetary system, particularly by advocates of the trickle-down hypothesis, is that it is a zero-sum game because our money is entirely debt-based. The more of a positive net money balance I have, the more of a negative balance somebody else has. That's how it works. And you can put a positive balance to work, earning more money, while I sit around and do nothing, or go and work for more money. So the most likely situation for a positive balance person is that their positive balance will keep growing. But also in the zero-sum game, this means that somebody else's balance gets more negative. It's a lack of sharing. And the negative sum person would be unlikely to get a loan to start their own business, and so would have to go to work for someone that already has money. You see how it works? And under current wage structures and interest rates for high-risk customers, it would be difficult for many negative balance people to ever get a positive balance position, no matter how hard they work. They have the added disadvantage that they can't put a positive balance to work, which then earns more money. And the most likely their balances will get more negative, which is how the system works, while the people that already have money will get more money to balance out the zero-sum game. And that confirms what I mentioned earlier about the tax code and about how much you're allowed to earn in a lifetime, being decided by jackasses in the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. But with positive money balances always earning a positive return on capital, combined with no requirement for redistribution of wealth, which is implicitly prohibited by neoliberal policy because it eases such government intervention, the results become clear. The rich will keep getting richer and the poor will keep getting poorer. And the more interest-bearing debt money you invest in developing nations, the worse, not better, the situation gets. Those that believe in a trickle-down effect will result from investment in poorer, more negative balanced countries and neighbourhoods demonstrate a very poor understanding of the monetary system. In fact, they believe in something that cannot possibly materialise and is evidenced by the consequences of investment in developing nations. And generally speaking, the zero-sum game promotes conflict. Conflicting parties need money to stand competition, in the extreme case, fight a war, in order to maintain their positive balance position. And the only regulatory principle to limit the promotion of violence in all shapes and colours is the monetary monopoly's need to manage risk. And fatally, the risks taken by banks is distorted by the doctrine that the monetary monopoly as a whole may not fail. And this so-called moral hazard caused by public bailouts encourages investments in exploitation and war. And what really trickles down is violence, not wealth. Hope you all enjoyed that money expose and have a better understanding of it all. So we've come to the last piece. And here is a good quote that asks us all to think. And we like that type of processing. And it says, in the end, we return to the question. Just how much do you love truth? Do you really love truth, or are you just curious? Do you love it enough to rebuild your understanding to conform to a reality that doesn't fit your current beliefs and doesn't feel 100% happy? Do you love truth enough to continue seeking even when it hurts? When it reveals aspects of yourself or human society or the universe that are shocking, complex and disturbing, or humbling, glorious and amazing, or even when truth is far beyond the human mind itself. Just how much do we love truth? And it's a good question to ask ourselves, I think. And here is some truth. Listen very closely. We the people enter this key month with another revocation that all listening must apply to. We do not consent to your spiritual warfare this month on any given day. We do not consent to your Omicron spell casting or word magic either. We do not consent to you invoking the spirit world or calling in of the demons, fake gods or other malevolent dark forces. We do not consent to your full moon rituals, one of which is today, about an hour's time. We do not consent to your invoking of Ophiuchus either, the serpent bearer indeed. We see you and you will not prevail. We do not consent to any of your rituals you plan this month, and a word of warning should you choose to play, so will we, with devastating consequences. They are planning the switching of dates again. Nice try, assholes, but we will be ready then as well. The 3-3-3 date is almost upon us now. It is our date, not theirs, and I'm calling on all warriors to start now, not wait for the 21st. Now. I'm asking for those with abilities to join me in doing a planetary wide clearing starting now through the end of this year. To the clowns, dark magicians and psychopaths, your time is up. Step aside and go somewhere where you are more useful. The day of the Svarog is still dawning, but our light shines brighter now than ever, and once again we will claim our rightful heir and guardianship of this planet. And it will be ran in a much better and fairer way than you all did. I often ponder aloud and come across situations and events in life that cross-link with other parts of life and people. And I've seen various images around the world of roads, bridges, rail lines, interstates all broken, and the lifeblood of their system dying with it. You see, those roads were not for us. Those roads can be seen as links to connect us all quicker and more convenient, it is said. But it was not for our convenience, it turned out. As roads bypassed small towns, which led to reduced traffic, and suddenly the lifeblood of the town ebbed away. At the end of the interstate, which invariably led to a concrete jungle town or city, for their benefit, not ours. The roads linked us all together and then bound us to their concrete jungles. But people are changing and no longer seek the same roads or modes of travelling anymore. In essence, they are choosing to walk or drive their own path, the road less travelled, so to speak. And for those people, they will find out that not all roads lead to Rome. You are on the roads that leads away from me. Ponder on that, it has a much deeper meaning. But along your road less travelled, you are surprised to find many others of like-minded and similar thinking people along the way. And we find we are all linked, but not bound. We are like a jewellery clasp that forms a chain of people. But unlike other chains that bind, this clasp has an open and shut part to allow for free will. Is it a coincidence that the UK enacted laws against people linking together? No, it is symbolic of their fears. And if that wasn't the case, then the truth would not fear investigation. But it's not the truth they seek, is it? They seek compliance and asking people to bind into their programs of lies and delusion. And what has been lost in the avalanche of COVID data is the dark magician's roles in guiding the stupid amongst us to agree to their own demise. It is the dance on the edge of dynamics again, where they will argue that we told you and you still went ahead and consented to it. And that has been the forte of the dark forces for aeons, dancing on the edges of cosmic law, whereby technically they haven't broken the law, as the people consented to it. It is both genius and disingenuous in equal measure. But our role in this has to be seen as something far more significant than people think or give credit. We are linking and networking against the system whilst holding each other aloft in an energizing way. We must keep recognizing our own achievements because nobody else will. The saying keep the faith, often wrongly associated with the ultimate in control systems, religion. They call it blind faith for a reason, because if people could see, they would see through the whole illusion that brings to childlike, saviour-based people. The same religions who label us all as sinners, creating low vibrational beings and guilt and shame complexes on everyone. The Ten Commandments. Because if you read them in the right way, it is not possible to fulfill any one of those rules. It was designed that way. Thou shalt not look at another woman or man. How can anyone pass that test? The answer is you are not meant to. Thou shalt not steal. Is again fairly wide ranging when you see. Most people fiddle their taxes. Is that not stealing? And many low vibrational people are energy harvesters. Vampiric in nature. Is that not stealing? So you see, their rules or laws can never be fulfilled. And so we were all declared sinners who must pay for our sins. Except the real sinners all went off scot-free due to their Day of Atonement and passed all their crimes onto us. Again, it's both genius and disingenuous. But keep the faith actually means keep the knowledge. But these demons and satanics through their religious and religions declared eating the fruit of knowledge is a sin. No, not swallowing the knowledge is the greatest sin for the vast amount of people on this planet, which is why they line up for their death and injury jabs in their millions. They didn't start the faith to be able to keep it to begin with. And that has and will be their downfall along with the clowns. Symbolism and greed has been their downfall at great cost to their own souls, as they will all soon find out. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now. On the road to Judgment Day indeed. Let's make it unfold. Do not wait at the end of the year. You start now. Use your imagination of who and what to target, and let's end this filth on this planet once and for all. We've destroyed the last 7, 8 or 9 winter solstices. Let's make it another. Only this time, let's make it last. Do not wait. Let's take action now. Thank you and good night.